My name is Chris Huskisson, and I'm with Undermain Incorporated, and I'm here today with Stuart Horodner and Louis Zoller-Bickett to have a discussion about an upcoming retrospective that's going to be happening in Lexington. It's sort of a citywide retrospective that will begin in August and run through the end of the year. And I'm just curious, Stuart, if you could let me know kind of what's happening here. I know that the University of Kentucky Art Museum, the hospital, Lexington Art League, and Philip March Jones's Institute 193, along with 21C, are all involved in this retrospective. What's going on?
What's happening here is that several months ago, in a conversation with Philip March Jones at Institute 193, we started to talk about Louis Bickett and his work and his relevance, and not shying away from talking about reality and present, you know, health conditions. We talked about, is there a moment that is very present which affords us a possibility of, you know, wasting no time in sort of surveying what Louis's been up to for 30 plus years. And, you know, what's really, I guess, important to say is that, and Philip thought this was very important, which was for the first time in many years, Institute 193 and the Art Museum were of like mind. I don't think we would have been talking about this otherwise. This wasn't a, let's think about doing something nice for a local artist. This was, the Art Museum had not spent much of its previous decade focusing on work by local artists. Institute 193, for the most part, has spent a lot of its time focusing on the work of local and regional artists. And their first exhibition when they opened was a sampler survey of work by Louis, right?
That's correct.
And so it really was a combination of Philip and I talking about the fact that he had done projects with Louis. The museum, of course, owns a couple of modest works by Louis Bickett. And that I have a long history, and not only as a curator and ex-gallery owner, but director at various art institutions, have had a great interest in artists who work in between different disciplines, artists whose works could easily be categorized as performative, and artists who work in what is often talked about as the space between art and life. And I'm terribly interested in artists who slam them together, meaning archivists and performers and people who see something that might be made in the studio in a traditional fashion with what one ate for lunch, all being part of a network of ideas and thoughts that are worthy of documenting and talking about and sharing. So there's a great history of work that I'm familiar with and I'm a lover of, whether it's Joseph Beuys, Joseph Cornell, Hannah Darbovin, Sophie Kahl,
Diderot.
Diderot. And so you've got quite often a very long history of European art, Dada art, Surrealist art, conceptual art, Fluxus here in the United States, a variety of art traditions that look to collapse hierarchies between making and living. And so all of that sort of sets a stage, I guess, for me coming to the museum 2 years ago, trying to open up its programs, knowing Philip, talking about great artists that are in the area, and realizing that we had an opportunity to come together and do something significant. And showing an artist who may have been hiding in plain sight, even in a crazy way. And so we started to talk about that, and those talks led to buy-in from other arts organizations in Lexington to say maybe now is an interesting time to work with Louis to shape a pseudo-retrospective that would operate across the community and would be a light on what he's been up to and would also be a moment to take stock of how does the museum acquire work? How do we champion the work, putting it in front of other curators and other collectors, and really try to do something that would be, A, really fun to do, and B, unprecedented in terms of the community treating a local artist in this very, very big way. And so that's where we started. And now we've all been off, I say we, meaning the curators, working with Louis and thinking about what should we show and how should we talk about and make decisions about sharing this work. And it's going to be a big deal, and it should be. And so that's where we find ourselves. The question really about how the shows take shape is that Institute 193 and the Art Museum said that we were both going to do exhibitions. The Art Museum has got a show that opens. It will take up the entirety of the downstairs of the museum. It will be opening on August 27th to the public and running until November 27th, so right after the holidays. We've decided to showcase a series of significant projects that will look at Louis's work of photography, that will look at his examinations of religion and sexuality, that'll deal with his engagement with civil war and regional history. And so when I say that those are subjects that we're exploring, those might be single discrete works, photographs, bottles which can, and jars which contain collected material, postcards which he has sent to himself over the years from various travels, all coming back to Lexington almost in a kind of self-regarding index of where he's been and where he calls home. And so by showing a variety of those materials, we'll give people an insight into the way in which this artist works. Now, the other thing we're going to do is show boxes and boxes of things which contain things that will not be visible. And using those boxes, storage boxes, which are in various storage facilities, his home, as well as venues around Lexington, almost as pedestals and architectural devices to frame the things that we are showing. And part of the reason we're doing that is much of the way of working in this manner involves stockpiling all of the stuff that you have done previously. I mean, there's no discontinuation of Louis working this way since the early 70s. The problem is when you make work like this, and some of it's very modest. It might be a postcard. It might be a coffee cup. It might be something found, bought, made, collected, donated, given. Where do you put it? How do you catalog it? How do you keep track of it? How do you share it with others? So Louis, I think, has been very smart about, A, calling this entire enterprise the archive, being faithful as heck in chronicling each entry into its framework, but then also when working with curators or gallerists, giving them quite free hand in choosing to compare and contrast, to gather things of various periods, various projects. And in a way, it's a very, not only a generous way of working, but it's a very open collaboration to say, look, I do the work, I live the life, you want to come in and help look at it. You bring your energy, your focus, your thoughts. It's sort of, it's all good. It's all me, it's all good. But the collaborations, whether it's with Julian Robeson or Philip or myself or other people who love this work, in a way, we get to help tell the Louis story, right? And so we think these boxes and their presence needs to be part of the story. And so that's the strategy. So that's us. Institute 193 is choosing to show, and their show, I think, opens at the end of September. Their show is going to focus on artists who Louis has been friends with, as well as works by those people that he has collected. And many of those artists, be it Mike Goodlett or
Guy Mendez
and others, a lot of these artists are artists who, for whom Institute 193 has a significant connection. So in a way, it's Philip looking at his own endeavor through the lens of Louis. Lexington Art League is choosing to show, and I think their show opens at the end of October and runs about a month or so. Their show will look at, if I'm not mistaken, the AIDS tree.
Correct.
The family.
The Holy Family.
The Holy Family. So they will present two or three very powerful, significant bodies of work on their premises. And since, in a way, they also have a longstanding connection to Louis and his work, each of these venues will, in a sense, be getting a chance to host something, but also shine a light on their own relationship to the artist. 21C and the hospital. Okay, so 21C, Alice Stites, and the owners of 21C, Steve Wilson and Laura Lee Brown, have also known Louis for many years. And they didn't want to miss this opportunity to share their enthusiasm. So I was talking with Alice this morning. She wants to show a very powerful single work called The Daddy Project, right? This is the the stuffed teddy bears, which have been amended with labels that are somewhat provocative and challenging and both real in one way and also maybe pseudo-fictional in other ways. But that's a major downstairs installation, maybe some photography as well. And Jackie Hamilton, working with Philip March Jones, commissioned Louis to do a project last year that's now part of the collection at the UK Health Hospital and Healthcare Program. And so they will be showing that work, and maybe Louis, you may just say something about that work, because that was
That piece was called 120 Counties, and it involved gathering dirt samples from all 120 counties in 5 days right before Christmas. 120 counties in Kentucky, and they're jarred, and they have the tag on the front of the bottle, telling what county it was. The dirt was gathered in, and it's really quite varied. It looks like a colored chart. It goes from in the western part of the state, the dirt's really, really red, like in Georgia or Mississippi, and then to the dirt specifically in Ashland, for instance, was really, really black, and it smelled really bad, like it was, you know, highly polluted. So it's a really interesting, I think, a set of languages for a hospital. The Daddy Project that's going to be shown at 21C is comprised of a red iron 1890 hospital bed that actually belonged to Griffey Van Meter's great-grandfather. I bought it from him when I was a teenager for $17.50 out of his attic. And it has probably, well, there are over 200 stuffed teddy bears of various sizes, but the bed will probably have about 50 to 75, something like that. And the teddy bears all have a laminated descriptive text tag attached to the ear in reference to the famous German Steiff teddy bears that had a little button in the ear indicating that it was a authentic Steiff teddy bear. And the tags run from things like Daddy Loved Teddy, Oh, How Daddy Loved Teddy. And there's almost always a date on there. Sometimes they'll have the dates commemorating the birthday of a friend of mine. But they also have what probably would be considered very provocative kind of sexual identity and sexual activity kind of text about what Daddy wanted to do to Teddy. And I'll just leave that part there. Then the other part of the 21C room, I think, I'm pretty sure, is going to have several enlargements of my project. The Sam Foy with Broom, a local friend of mine and model that I photographed around the United States with his shirt off. He's a muscle building guy holding a broom. And I think we're going to have several of those. But the Daddy Project, some of the things enumerated in the Daddy Project actually did belong to my father, who I actually didn't call Daddy. I called him Father. And they're just straightforward, like Daddy's fountain pen, and they will have a date on it and or where I acquired it. Or it would be more descriptive. And then all these things are also described in the computer database and assigned a number. I can tell you exactly how many teddy bears there are, how many personal objects, how many religious objects. And then some of the terms are just, the texts are just completely fictional or more of a fantasy, like Stuart said.